Bible and turn with me this morning to 2 Samuel chapter 11. 2 Samuel chapter 11. I have felt this week that the Lord would have me to come into the meeting today and speak primarily to the elders among us, the aged, the seniors. I don't know what the age would be as far as numbers, but if you consider yourself an elder, old timer, whatever you want to call yourself, I hope you will in particular will listen this morning. It's not so much a message of encouragement as it is a message of caution and a message of warning. And though I may be speaking primarily to the elders here in the church or the seniors, that doesn't mean that God hasn't got something for the middle-aged and for the younger people. And so I hope that all of us will listen carefully and intently and see what God might be pleased to say to us. I want to preach for a while this morning. Beware of evening temptations. Beware of evening temptations. Even the elderly has to be on guard constantly because of temptation that will come our way. You never live so long upon the earth that you finally come to a place in this life where you're never tempted to commit sin. I want you to notice in 2 Samuel 11, and I want to read verse 2, at least a portion of it to get us started. And it came to pass in an eventide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. Let's read it all. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. Verse 2 again, it came to pass in an eventide. That's when this takes place, near the evening. Today I feel that it is my duty to tell the seniors among us that only when we get to heaven will we be out of the reach of the long arm of temptation. As long as we're here in this walk of life, we're going to have the flesh to battle with. And we're going to have to be on guard constantly, even in our senior years. At any given moment, even in our latter days, we find ourselves face to face with solicitations to commit sin, allurements to evil. And as long as we live in our present condition, we are prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Just because we be seniors, I want you to understand we are not immune from an often strong enticement to sin against our Heavenly Father. And even as our mornings began with these perils of lust at the beginning of our lives, so do we as we approach the end of our journey during our shades of evening, find ourselves bombarded on every hand with all kinds of temptations, anything to get us out of the will of God, to get us away from God, to make us in our senior years unusable in the work of God. While some of our early temptations may not be quite as strong in this, the evening of our lives, they may not ever be completely dormant. I'm saying that even some of the things that were so strong when we first began in this walk of life, in these latter days, they may not be quite as strong, but that doesn't mean you'd still better not watch for them, because they're still around and they still could come and stir up the lust in your heart. You've got to be always watchful and guarding. And then as the years go by and the sun begins to set in our lives, we may even find temptations of a different kind has come into our lives with chains to bind us and to imprison us. Maybe some things we wasn't tempted with earlier in our days upon this earth, but they come later, and we find out that they are appealing to our flesh in our senior years. And then temptations that may not have been so powerful in our early days may seem to take on a greater intensity and vigor in our latter days. You see, the Lord Jesus said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and the flesh don't ever change, even as the old sin nature never changes, but always remains contrary and at enmity to God. Brother Spurgeon said, they are well kept whom God keeps, but woe unto those who go forth into the world or even dare to walk in their own homes unarmed. And so God's people must always be careful, no matter what age you are, no matter how long you've been saved and been in the way. Beloved, we've got to always be on guard, because there are all kind of temptations that come our way. And those who think themselves secure are more exposed to danger than anybody else is. It is when we consider ourselves to be secure that we begin to let our guard down. And when you let your guard down, surely you're going to be shot with that arrow of temptation. The devil, the world, the flesh is going to come at us and is going to seek to bring us down. The enemy of the Lord is our enemy. And seniors, it's been our enemy all of our saved life, all of our believing life. We've had this enemy to contend with, and it continues right on into our old age, maybe even to our dying day. You never know when you lay upon your deathbed. You may have the most powerful temptation to come your way. And so we must never let down our guard. It's when the man in the ring, in the boxing ring, when he gets a little bit too silly and thinks that he can take the other out just any time he wants to, and he drops his left hand, he's going to be caught with that right hook. Beloved, we've always got to be on the watch. There is never a time of leisure for a child of God. The enemy is close at hand. The enemy is breathing on the back of our neck. And you're not ever to think that you've come to some kind of tropical paradise in your life, that now you can just lay out on the beach and enjoy the sun and listen to the waves, and now it's leisure time, it's vacation time. No, my dear friends, it is war and battle until we are finally caught up into the presence of our God and receive our glorified state. Until then, we've got to be warriors. We've got to be contenders for the faith and stand for the glory of God. And I tell you, young people, you'll never reach a place in your life where you can lie down and be at rest. We've got to always keep our hand to the plow, never looking back, always pressing forward, because as long as we live upon this earth, as I've told you time and again, we are in hostile territory. Amen. The army that hates God hates us. And we've got to be extremely careful in these days. Somebody said the armor bearer of sin is self-confidence. Don't you get so caught up in yourself that you think, well, I'm strong enough now, I can handle whatever situation comes my way now. And I tell you, friends, there's nothing like a good, strong temptation or trial to come our way that will show us how weak that we really are. Simon Peter and the other disciples made some boast about how they would stand with the Lord in the hour of crucifixion, but they wasn't able to stand by their promise, friend. They thought that they would be able to stand firm, but when the hour came, brother, and their feet, they began to realize that their feet was nothing but clay. And friend, that they were just men, and being just men, they were subject to a fall. And it makes no difference, hear me and hear me well, it makes no difference how long you've been saved, how long you've been walking with God. Friend, at any given moment, apart from the power and the grace of God, the devil can swallow you up whole. Beloved, this world can take you to task and beat your brains out. And the flesh, friend, can overcome you and devour you like a pack of lions. We've got to always remember we are not dependent upon ourselves. We are dependent upon the power of God. Every step of the way. I need thee every hour. Every hour. Well, in our text here, we understand by the first verse, the verse I did not read, that King David was in the wrong place doing the wrong things. He tells us in verse 1, and it came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, David was a king, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Raba, but David tarried still at Jerusalem. Now David should have been engaged in fighting the Lord's battles. He should have been at that time standing shoulder to shoulder with his fearless, mighty men. And more so, he should have been leading the charge against the enemies of the Lord. He should have been receiving his own war wounds, his own battle scars, and donating his own blood and guts for the cause of the Lord his God and the cause of Israel. There was certainly a time when David would never have sent somebody else to fight his battles or to do his job. He had a lifelong reputation of being a man of war. Many a lady had sang and danced over his previous triumphs, singing, "Saul has slain his thousands, but David has slain his tens of thousands." And friend, he was known, he had this reputation of being a mighty, fearless man. But at a time when kings go forth to battle, verse 1 said, David sent Joab. I remember when he wouldn't have sent anybody. He'd have went and done it himself. But now what is he doing? He's lazing around at the palace. And he is leisure at a time when he should have been battling. He's tarrying still here at Jerusalem. In his younger days, as I said, he had this reputation, a particular reputation. That's something you build yourself. A testimony is something you build for yourself. If you've got a bad testimony, if you have a bad reputation, you have nobody to blame but yourself for that. But David had this reputation among men and in heaven, a man after God's own heart. He's called in the Bible the sweet psalmist of Israel, God's chosen king for his chosen people. And now in our text, according to some, as David is probably approaching now his senior years, he strangely places his foot upon a slippery rock. I tell you, you'd better be careful where you step, friends. In this world, again, as long as we are in this world, there are some slippery places. And there are men in the past who have testified of those slippery places. Asaph said, "My foot almost slipped." Simon Peter said, "I almost sunk." Jeremiah said, I nearly stopped. I tell you, friends, these things are ongoing problems that the people of God have had down through history, and we have them in our day. We're on slippery places. And friend, like Peter trying to walk on the water, he nearly sunk to the bottom. And Jeremiah, at a time in his life, he said, I'm quitting. I'm tired of all of this agony and all of this aggravation. I'm giving it up. Listen, my friends, the devil hadn't changed. The world hadn't changed. The flesh is still the same. The battle is still raging. And you and I are going to have to suck it up. And we're going to have to stand for God even in our senior years when the devil would love every one of us to retire. And just sit down and coast the rest of the way to the finish line. Well, David's taking chances here that cannot possibly end well. He's not prepared for such a moment. And then again, I don't know if anybody can really prepare for such an evil moment as this. Now, David had not ordinarily been a foolish and careless man. But that day, that dark day in his life, the day of his weakness, it's as if he has cast all caution to the wind. And somehow, out of character, he's about to expose himself to something that even an old man cannot always resist. Elderly people, ladies and gentlemen, you better not play with fire. You better not court that boundary line and see how close you can get to it without crossing it. You'd better never underestimate the power of your flesh to draw you away and to pull you away from God. We've already found, you found it no doubt in your own life, and we can find it throughout Scripture. A man of God can get down on his knees against a whole nation and pray the power and the fire of God down out of heaven one day to consume the sacrifice. And the next day he can be running from a wicked woman and find himself under a juniper tree begging God to kill him. How soon we can go down. A man of prayer and grace, a woman close to God singing hymns of praise to Him on a Wednesday and then on Thursday finding themselves in a place of defeat and despair as the enemy seems to be having his way and you're so weak and so frail you cannot seem to lift up an arm against that wicked one and against your flesh and you find yourself like a beaten, whipped dog. Don't think it can't happen to you. It can happen to any of us. Instead of fighting as David had done so well earlier in his life, it seems to have taken all the fight out of him as he begins to surrender to his aches and elderly infirmities. And he decides that day he's going to just sleep in. Going to just sleep in. We got to be careful about slumbering and sleeping. I'll be honest with you. I'll tell you how it is for me. I don't know how it is for you, but this is the way it is for me. I can wake up in the mornings, and if I'm a smart man, I'll go ahead and get up. Because if I don't, if I lay there for a little while, there's something about it. I don't know exactly what's taking place, but I began to think wrong thoughts and imagine wrong things. There's something about the morning when I'm kind of sleepy and sluggish. It would be best if I just go ahead and get up. I may dream something terrible on top of all of that. And so what I'm saying is, there's something about idleness, there's something about sluggishness that we have to guard against. And this is particularly, I think, as we grow older, as I get older, I'm telling you things that happens to the seniors. Well, here we see with David, during this particular temptation that's coming his way, it's not actually morning now, but now it's evening. He's probably been lounging around all day long. He'd been inactive all day long. And verse number 2 said, "And it came to pass in an eventide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house." And friends, it was at that hour David saw Bathsheba. He saw something that took his eyes, his heart, his will captive. Now, why didn't he quickly look the other way? Brethren, that's what we're supposed to do. Whenever we are enticed by something through the eye gate, then we are to quickly look the other way and pray for grace and ask God to help us. And in 2013, there's much always, constantly, before our eyes that tries to work its way through into the brain, into the mind, to pull us down, to entice us, to get us thinking of wicked, filthy thoughts that pollutes our minds. So much taking place in this day and hour. Because there's little shame. Amen. Women in this day and time, ladies, I just have to say this, but women in this day and time care not how they dress, care not how they sit, care not how they present themselves, and they just become enticements and they become traps that the devil in the flesh uses to trip us up and to get us thinking wicked and evil thoughts. And I tell you, ladies, you ought to desire, as if you name the name of Christ, you ought to desire and long for people to look at you and see godliness in you, and that be the attractive part of you, a godliness and a purity and a holiness, something that speaks well of Jesus Christ and the grace of God at work in you. That ought to mean more to you than to attract someone to your body, to your flesh. If you name the name of Christ, depart from iniquity. Amen. And be a holy lady. And you men, be a holy man. And when the enemy comes with these enticements, it probably would have helped David a good bit if he'd just maybe at least looked the other way. And not dwelled upon, not set a gaze upon that. And could it be possible that maybe this woman right here in the narrative didn't have very decent bathing habits? Maybe she knew David was looking on. I'm not accusing her. David didn't in his prayer in Psalm 51. He took all the blame to himself. But could it be that she was out to entice him? We do not know. We only know that the hook was baited and the fish bit. And he was caught. That's very sad that David didn't make the same covenant with his eyes that Job said he made. In Job 31 and 1, he said, "I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid?" Now note Job's sense of the importance of this and of the danger to which men are exposed, no matter what age he may be, that he had solemnly resolved not to think upon a young female. You say, "But Pastor, you're preaching today to men whose hair is white or who's lost their hair and who's bent in their back and who's been on this earth for so long." That's right. That is right. It happens even in many senior years. You've got to always be on guard and be careful. That phrase there, I made a covenant with mine eyes, is poetical. And of course, the book of Job is a poetical book. And it means that he solemnly resolved. A covenant is of a sacred and a binding nature. And the strength of his resolution was as great as if he had made a solemn compact. A covenant or compact back in that time was usually made by slaying an animal in sacrifice. And the compact was ratified over the animal that was slain by a kind of imprecation that if the compact was violated, the same destruction might fall upon the violator that had come upon that animal sacrifice. And so by the language here, Job means that he had resolved in a most solemn manner that he would not allow his eyes or thoughts to endanger him by improperly contemplating a woman. You say, preacher, it's all right for me to think it long as I don't do it. That's not what we read in the Holy Scriptures. God cares about what we give our mind to, what we think on. You say, Pastor, again, what you're preaching is impossible for a man to overcome as long as we are in these bodies. I'm telling you that for every temptation that comes our way to commit sin, to commit some kind of evil and wickedness, God has the grace that is sufficient to help us overcome. We're the people of God. And we are to be distinct upon this earth, and the grace of God is to be seen in us, even grace to overcome our flesh and the world and the devil. It's something we've got to always work at. In Proverbs 6:25, lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. Now this is the case of one who would come intentionally. A woman who would come intentionally to entice. The flirt, you know, who comes to bring you down. And it seems like the longer we live on this earth and the further we get into this Laodicean age, the more open and aggressive the female sex is. Don't know of any other way to put it. And it's amazing how young girls just crawl all over the young boys. And I don't want to get too far into that because I feel that God wants me to warn the seniors that even things like this, we've got to always be on guard. And for some of you older people, it may not be as strong towards you. And you may not have any problems with it, at least up to this point. But you may find out later. You never know. I just believe God is sending this word. And we'd better hear what God is saying to us. In Matthew 5:28, Jesus said, "But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery already in his heart." Now you may think, but oh preacher, surely that never happens in the mind or the heart of the elderly. Well, we only wish. But even some of the oldest trees on earth, the giant redwoods of California, are not immune from disease and destruction and can come crashing down to the ground at any time. And perhaps it's because that they are so old and have endured the strongest of storms in days gone by that now they have become so vulnerable. We all know that the flesh is likely to fall and to give in to temptation during its weakest moments. And it's also then that the devil attacks his prey. I don't want us to lose sight of the setting of this temptation here. Again, it was a time when David was idle. He was idle. Now, that's always a very dangerous time, and something that the elderly often find themselves in, unoccupied, immobile, inoperative. Seniors, sometimes, when we may not be able to occupy our hands with some good task, perhaps we can occupy our minds and our wills with something that is worth thinking about. To set our minds and our hearts upon something that we can give careful meditation and consideration to. Cut the television off. Cut everything else out. Move everything else aside. If you're going to sit and give careful thought to God and the things of God and the work of God. I was delighted when I came through the other day and saw my mother. She was just sitting there, but she was praying. She was talking to God while she was sitting there, and nothing else going on around her. She was just sitting there, and she was occupied with prayer. I tell you, that's what we've got to do in our senior years, in the time when we're not as able to get around as we once were. Give our time to prayer. Give our time to sharing wisdom with the younger people. Things that God has taught us over the years, and speaking to them of the faithfulness of God, how good He's been to you down through the years. Sharing, there is plenty for the senior people to be doing in the latter years of their life upon this earth. Paul said in Philippians 4 and verse 8, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things." The very passage of an impure thought through the mind leaves all kind of pollution behind. We need to consume as much of the Word of God as we can. As the psalmist said, hiding it in our heart. And then meditating on it. You know, feeding upon the Word of God and meditating on the Word of God and on prayer. The outbreak and crimes of life all around us are just the results of allowing imagination to dwell on impure images. And since the eye is the great source of danger, there should be a solemn purpose that the eye should be pure and that any sacrifice should be made rather than allow ourselves to indulge in a wanton gaze. If we're going to fix our attention upon anything, let it be God. Let it be the Word. Let it be the Holy Scriptures. Let it be the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel of the grace of God. Remember, elderly people, remember to set your affections on things above and not on things of this earth. No man, no woman has ever too much guarded on this subject. No one ever has yet made too solemn a covenant with their eyes and with their whole soul to be chaste, to be pure, and to be clean. You know, some men in particular give themselves to having eyes full of adulteries and cannot cease from sin, 2 Peter 2:14. And that's a problem with the apostates. Mark 9:47, Jesus said, "If thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It's better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. Again, I cannot overstate and warn too strongly, even too often, all of us seniors about the dangers of idleness. Spurgeon said, idleness and luxury are the devil's jackals and find him abundant prey. Folks, listen to me. It is in stagnant waters where noxious creatures swarm and breed. Neglected soil will soon yield a dense tangle of weeds and briars. I know that as I age, my steps are getting more difficult. I had to get up on my mother's house the other day, and on that slanted roof, my ankles hurt me so bad. And I was suddenly found myself afraid my ankles were going to give way and I was going to come tumbling off that roof. And I looked at that ladder and I've never been this way to this degree, but I suddenly had a fear of trying to get on the ladder and missing the step and cannot see like I once could see and I cannot balance myself like I once could. And my steps are getting slower, and I can feel this thing coming on me more and more. But I know that as I age and my steps are getting slower, but may God help me that they do not come to a complete halt, especially when it comes to this matter of walking in paths of righteousness for my Lord's sake. And my voice is getting weaker, but may I still use what is left to offer up prayer and declaration of the Word of God to everyone who's willing to listen. And my hands and my shoulders are getting more arthritic, but may I continue to use them to reach out with whatever failing strength I may have to love my neighbor as myself. It's important that I even take this vessel that is breaking down every single day and use what little bit that is left in service to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Praise God. Oh, for the constraining love of Jesus Christ to keep us active and useful. Listen carefully. When I see the King of Israel right here sluggishly leaving his couch at the close of the day and probably, maybe even so, the closing of his life and falling at once into temptation, let me take this warning and set a watchful guard before the door to keep me. Always dependent upon God to keep me from falling in the hour of temptation. Why do you suppose David went to the housetop in the first place? Susan and I went to Egypt. We've been in the Middle East. Saw how they build their houses, their buildings, with that flat roof. And that flat roof, it's not just designed in such a way so that it's fixed in such a way where the rain will drain off it. But they don't make it flat for no reason. They like to go up on the top of their houses and their buildings. And there, they go up there to enjoy the view or to have family time together and such. Now, why do you reckon David went up on that day? Could it have been that maybe he went up for a time of devotion? To get along with God, a time of secret prayer and holy meditation. I really don't know. But whatever the case, friends, we must never count any place, no matter how secret or sacred, we must not count any place as being a place of a sanctuary from sin. Sin can come anywhere. The temptation can spring up at any given place. Seniors, middle-aged, and young alike. We may receive our strongest temptations ever to sin right here in the house of God. You may think that when we come in here, we're in a place of refuge and the devil can't come in here. Listen, we bring him here. We often bring him with us. And we certainly bring that wicked nature of ours with us. In the house of God, there have been many who have fallen to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Right in the house of God. While in the times of our lives that it seems that our hearts are more like a stack of kindling, and the sparks are so plentiful, we must use all diligence, put forth every effort in all places to prevent a blaze. There have been many sparks that got away from a man and burned up a whole forest, destroyed millions upon millions of valuable acreage and homes. Western part of our country nearly burns to the ground every single year. You'd better know, my dear friends, that Satan can climb up on housetops, as in David's case. He can enter closets. But even if we could somehow shut him out, when we come here, as I said, we still bring the corruption with us. Because even senior believers has the old flesh. Seniors, I'm encouraging you to beware of evening temptations. Never let your guard down, not even in your dying days. Always remember, though the sun be down, sin is always up. We need a watchman for the night as well as a guardian for the day. And oh, may the Holy Spirit of God keep us seniors from evil in the evening times of our lives. I'm going to close with this. And I've told you this before. It's been a long time and it's not original with me. I heard another preacher tell about it. But he was talking about an elderly man and by the way, if you want to find out if elderly people can lust and do some of the things that I've been talking about this morning, talk to some of these people who's worked in nursing homes, they can tell you. Years ago, there was an elderly man in a nursing home. And every time the preachers would come around, they'd have a meeting, and that elderly man, he'd fall in right behind them with his walker or his wheelchair or whatever and make their way to the place where they would be holding the meeting, and the preacher would get up, and they'd sing, and the old man would sing, and he'd cry. And they would preach, and the old man would amen, and he would weep. And it just seemed that he had such a burning love for God. And then, one day the old man died. And they went in to clean out his room, and they opened up his footlocker and started cleaning it out. It was filled with pornography, with filthy magazines that old man had and had been looking through. You see, you don't ever know. You don't ever know. God knows. He always knows. But you never know what's going on in a person's heart, really going on. And we've got to always, young people, when you reach Brother Tommy's age and beyond, it's not going to get easier. As I said, I have temptations today that didn't bother me that much back when I was younger. And I have some of the temptations today that I had back then that just seems to be just as powerful. And I have some that seems to be dormant over the years that seems to try to... I think it's kind of, and it's not that I'm anything or anybody, I'm nothing. And I told God again this morning, God, without you, I can do nothing but fail. That's all I can do if you don't help me. But it's like Brother Spurgeon said. He said, little boys don't throw sticks and stones at shade trees. They throw them at fruit-bearing trees to knock the fruit out of the tree so they can get to it. And pirates do not attack empty cargo ships. They attack ships that are filled with treasures and goods. That's what they're after. And that's what the devil is after. And the world is after. And friends, we have always got to be on guard and be careful as long as we live in this world. And don't ever get to thinking that you've reached some kind of status as a believer now that it's a lot easier and you can kind of coast on from here on. That's not the way of Christianity. That's not the way of being a genuine believer. It's going to be a battle till God takes us home. When He takes us home, the enemy will be behind us. We will be at rest and at peace. We'll never again have to say, God, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. We'll never have to say, God, I'm sorry, forgive me. All that will be in the past. The old man will be gone. The new man glorified in the presence of the Lord. But until then, we got a battle. We've got to fight and stand for God. Let's do it. Seniors, let's give these younger people, let's give them a good example. Give them a good example. I hope that God would help them to be able to see in us a true hunger and desire for God. And I don't want to disappoint them. I don't want to disappoint any of you. And I don't want to disappoint the Lord. I want to be right with God to my dying day. Well, I'm going to sing before we leave. That's all right. And I sing this. I sing it every once in a while for our elderly people. And I want you to know I love you and I appreciate you. And you're precious to me and you're precious to God. And I just want each one of us to keep on keeping on for the Lord. Our steps may slow down, but let's keep stepping. Amen. Keep moving in the right direction. When the storms of life are raging, stand by me. When the storms of life are raging, stand by me. When the world is tossing me like a ship upon the sea, Thou who rulest wind and water, stand by me. In the midst of tribulation, stand by me. In the midst of tribulation, stand by me. When the host of hell assail and my strength begins to fail, Thou who never lost a battle, stand by me. In the midst of faults and failures, stand by me. In the midst of faults and failures, stand by me. When I do the best I can, and my friends don't understand, Thou who knowest all about me, stand by me. When I'm growing old and feeble, stand by me. When I'm growing old and feeble, stand by me. Stand by me when my life becomes a burden and I'm near in chilly Jordan.